What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Here at 8 o'clock, if I can, fellas, real quick, give a quick shout-out to Appliance 911. I talked about my washer being broke. The wonderful people, Connor, who set me up with all these guys, loyal listener, A1, D1, all the time here on Fesco and Dusty, hooked me up with Justin and Jake of Appliance 911, fixed my washer immediately. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. That's good.
I felt bad yesterday. Big Jake came over, fixed it. My garage is where my washer and dryer are. Hotter than what outside.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Hooked up the fan, put a towel down, gave a bottle of water. I'm like, dude.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm so sorry they have to do this. There was like standing water in my washer. Stunk to high heaven.
Oh, yeah. At least it was in the garage, though. You didn't have that in the house.
Yeah, definitely in the garage. Because my house was built in 1955. It's a ranch-style home, one level, crawl space. Never am I going to go in there.
Yeah, no, you don't go
in. It's probably like
those.
An Annabelle doll down there with Matt Rife doing some weird stuff. I have no idea. But yeah, shout out to Justin, Jake, and Connor for Appliance 911 who helped me fix my washer.
It's a lot cheaper than buying a new washer dryer.
Yeah.
And probably you have a better washer dryer right now than anything you could buy at the store.
Yeah, it's massive. It's a huge deal. Doing nice things for people. That's what we always say at the end of the show. You never know. Change my day, week, month, change my year. Didn't have to buy a new washer.
Yeah.
Got a new motor, set it up, 3 loads of laundry yesterday, doing all my
bedding
today.
Isn't that so good? You probably feel so relieved, right? I can imagine the stress, because I know if the washer went out for me, I pay for conveniences and always have because of the OCD, and all that kind of stuff, and it sucks to have to do all that. But I remember when I moved into my first apartment in Seguin and I got my first job down there and the guy told me to go apply for government housing because that's how much they were paying me. And I'm not kidding about that.
Right.
I made $16,500. It was too much for the government housing back in those days. But I paid a couple extra bucks more to have the washer dryer in my apartment because I wanted to have that convenience.
Right.
So I've been there. The washer dryer's busted before. I have to go to the in-laws and do that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible to have that go out. So good. I'm glad you got it
fixed. Yeah, those guys are great. So Appliance 911, shout out to you guys. All loyal listeners, too. Listen every day. Had a conversation, guys fixing it. You don't want to leave him out there by himself.
Yeah, so that's always kind of what I do. I feel like I need to help the guy when he comes over, no matter what it is.
Oh, I wasn't helping. He had like these tiny screw guns and like these lights and he was underneath the washer and all this sort of stuff. And I was just out there.
No, I'll stand there. You need anything? I see what you're doing. What am I doing? Yeah. I don't have any idea what I'm doing.
Because he was like, it's crazy how the city slipped on CAGs. It's like, how much time do you have? He's like, well, I got about 30 minutes left on this washer. I'm like, all right, here we go. But it's fun. It's fun to get things fixed and with good people that do it. So speaking of good people that do it, this Kingdom documentary has been put together pretty well.
Yeah.
You've burned through it.
I did. Because I knew if I didn't sit down and get through it, the chances of me once, stuff started to get busy, it's going to probably
fall
behind. And
the text line
right?
let us know. We're in it.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
we're in the
ESPN. My wife saw it and saw us in there. I wish. Voices are in it. I think you're in episode 6.
Oh, okay.
I think I found myself in episode 5, but of course I didn't recognize my wife because I think that was you. And so then we rewinded. Oh, yeah, that kind of was me. So,
that's my husband.
Yeah, she was very excited about that,
right? Put that on your Twitter profile.
Husband's voice makes the Kingdom episode ESPN,
VO,
right?
And ESPN Docs.
Yeah, so there it is, a voiceover of 5 cents every time. I would take that.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to give that to us. But I think you made it in episode 6. I know I was in episode 5, may have spilled into something in episode 6. So really cool. Our pictures made it too in there. You know, from New Orleans, we were in that.
There weren't better looking people.
I guess not. Okay. No, I mean, you saw the crew down there on Radio Row. We're the most in shape, good looking people down there, bro.
Was. I mean, I came back out of shape. Well, still working on that.
Too many beignets for you. But I watched the last, four or five, six over the weekend. And there's so much to kind of digest from all of this. But I think ultimately, when you watch the Kingdom documentary, you really see how all of this came together. And I think that's what they've done a really nice job in, of, you know, flashing back and showing you how it relates to the present, and whether it's flashing back to Lamar Hunt or just flashing back to moves they made a couple of years ago. And one of those was about the Tyreek Hill trade. And this episode kind of picked up when they were getting ready to, you know, to kind of trade Tyreek Hill. And Andy had this quote that I think is very important for everybody to understand. And it really explains to me what this football team is all about and why this football team continues to win. When people stand around, they go, I still understand why this dynasty keeps going and everybody's trying to put this dynasty out to pasture. This quote from Andy Reid, I think, was very important when they traded Tyreek Hill. He says, I like Tyreek, but this is a team sport. And if you're not in this thing for the benefit of the Kansas City Chiefs, you ain't in this thing. And Tyreek Hill, after that Cincinnati game, it started to kind of come to a head where I want to get paid. I want to get paid. I want to get paid. And the chief says, we don't want to pay you. You're not getting paid. We're not paying a wide receiver that is approaching 30 years old. Quite frankly, is not reliable off the field. And so this is what we're willing to do. You're either part of the team or you're not. And if you're not, that's fine. We'll move on and we'll get rid of you. And I thought that was a very, very telling comment, not just about the players, but people in the front office as well, and scouts and everybody in that organization. I like Tyreek, but it's a team sport. You better be in this for the Kansas City Chiefs and not in it for yourself. And if you're in it for yourself, you ain't going to be here that long.
Because if I believe, if you go back, and Mac will play the audio, but if you go back to when that Tyreek Hill situation was, they were going to pay him. And then Devontae Adams got paid. And he goes, you know what? I want more than that.
That's right.
And we'll trade you within 5 minutes to Miami.
That's exactly right.
Or do you want to go to Miami? Do you want to go to the Jets? Well, there's no state tax. Yeah. In Miami, I'll go there. This is the audio of Andy.
Find new ways to win and reinvent yourself.
I love Tyreek Hill, but it's a team sport. It takes the whole army to win a game in this league.
He ain't lying.
No, I mean, that's more telling than anything they said when they traded Tyreek Hill. I love Tyreek, but it's a team sport. And, you know, at that point in time, the Kansas City Chiefs needed to get better on both sides of the football, which leads us into that draft and those picks that they got from Tyreek Hill. And they switched to a defensive team basically in the draft room.
See, well, it was a failed draft because you got Sky Moore.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, 2022 was the good draft, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the great draft, right? Yeah.
That was Creed, or that was McDuffie.
McDuffie and Karloftis. Yeah. And so in 2022, they're sitting there and they're showing the draft room, and they had made the trade for Tyreek, and so they had those two picks in the first round. And the board starts falling to them, and they're talking about the need for a wide receiver at that point in time, and, you know, offensive team. But the best players available on the board at those picks were defensive players. And that's where Brett looks to Andy and goes, you're kind of ready to make this a defensive football team. And Andy's like, yeah, whatever we got to do. He goes, well, the best players on the board right now are defensive players. And they're like, then draft them. And so it kind of shows you how this organization evolves, but also show you why Brett Veach is hitting home runs instead of hitting singles. Because any other organization that just traded a guy like Tyreek Hill and had two first-round picks would probably be looking to draft a wide receiver, whether or not he was worthy of being picked at number 17. Brett, or 22 when Karloftis was picked, or however the order ended up going, right? But Brett Veach looked at that and went, well, that's the easy route. It's not the best route because I can get the best available defensive back on our board, and he's still there right now. Let's go get that guy. And so that's why this team always stays on top and always stays fresh and always stays young, and why they're one of the 10 youngest teams again in the NFL. Like, this is not an old veteran team. They're constantly reinventing themselves and taking those best players available. That's why they've been able to win 9 straight division championships and been to 5-7 straight AFC championship games and 5 Super Bowls, because they understand that it's not about drafting the guy that you want or I want. It's about drafting the guy that they believe is the best on the board, and they'll bring him into their organization and make them fit in. Imagine if they went with offense that year that they traded Tyreek Hill instead of taking Trent McDuffie or George Karlaftis. Karlaftis, they've already signed to that next contract. McDuffie will be getting his next contract. Change the whole dynamic of this team. They would not have those two Super Bowls, in my opinion, if they didn't draft Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie and start to make that a defensive football team.
They'd also probably pigeonhole to sign Legarius Sneed to a contract.
Yeah. That's a great point for that as well. Yeah, you would have signed, and he has not played since he left Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, Legarius Sneed, two big components to a team that continued to keep winning and getting to the Super Bowl after. Now, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they still went and still had a great defense. Somebody says the documentary, I feel like, was more of a history of the franchise in the NFL versus a season-long three-peat, which was great.
The three-peat was the reason for the documentary, but I think it's also, I think you have to tell the story of the Chiefs because in the last 10 years, they became the world's team. They became America's team. Before that, nobody really knew much about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Which I think is great about the documentary because they were probably going into it thinking, okay, we have our script, right? We have the winner of the three-peat, never been done before, this will sell. And then halfway through that game, like we did, we changed the entire narrative of the show on Monday and said, well, at least they went to three, they got their ass kicked, maybe they can get back to the fourth. And then that documentary was like, well, they didn't win. They nipped that right away. And then they got into, you know, where Andy Reid came from. I still think episode two will go down. It's probably the best episode of the series.
I got the chills right now when you said that because, episode two is a home run.
I mean, it's just Lewis Riddick's awesome. The story of Andy Reid and the passing of his son and everything that comes through there. And then, like,
the emotion.
When they get to him and they're like, well, this is what your wife said about the Super Bowl of the first one you won. And he gives the, like, hang on.
Yeah, hang on, guys.
And you're like, whoa. That mustache is starting to flicker a little bit. We haven't seen that unless it's been, you know, bumping up with Kelsey on the sideline. So I think episode two will go down as the big hit of the album. And then the rest you just kind of gravitate to because of how well you were set up. Because episode one, you get all the information. Episode two, you get Andy Reid and the story and the boxes and the caves and all that sort of stuff that leads up to that. And then everybody says they knew that Bob Fesco was in the documentary because it said the Chiefs were going to win 35-0.
No, did it say that? I totally missed that. I hope it was in there.
Somebody said from the 816, I knew it was Bob in the Kingdom when I heard Chiefs are going to win 35-0.
Oh, I'd like that. I do want to get into something about Steve Spagnuolo on the other side because I think it's going to make people think a little bit.
We'll do that. We'll talk more change in baseball because expansion could be coming and reevaluating divisions as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Here on 96.5 The Fan. Quick shout out to all those bus drivers out there as well, putting up with all those kiddos getting back to school. At least some are back tomorrow. I don't know about anybody else in Jackson County. I just know that I think Blue Springs, Lee Summit, Crane Valley, Oak Grove, maybe I'm wrong there, all tomorrow.
Did Frank try to cancel school over there and charge you for it?
Well, he's about to get canceled.
Oh.
Shout out to those bus drivers. I mean, that's not an easy job.
No, it's a terrible job.
But a lot of them listen to us. So we try to help you guys out. Maybe, you know, parents tell your kids, hey, best behavior on the bus. You know, I'll turn this damn bus around.
Yeah.
O'Doyle rules. Don't be O'Doyle.
Yeah, don't be that guy on the bus.
You see how O'Doyle's life ends.
Yeah, not well.
Banana peel.
Yeah.
Irony. Shout out to the bus drivers. Shout out to all the people. Do they still do the stop signs and stuff on the road in the schools?
Crossing guards?
Yeah,
they're out. Well, so, just depends.
Do they peer pressure you into signing up for that?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a paid job.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a paid job. But, like, you know,
I would do that if our show got out earlier.
Well, you could do it in the afternoon if you wanted to.
Sweet.
The problem is you put in like time, you get paid like 1 hour, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all the work.
I would just take all my money and put it towards,
cards,
gambling, or
okay,
cards, gambling or cards.
So they pay you $15 an hour to be the crossing guard, right?
Dude, that's
a $15.
But it's only like 1 hour a day.
That's a $15 bet every day.
That's true. $75 a week.
I've already put $10 in on a parlay for the Royals tonight.
My crossing guard at Leawood Elementary, Miss Oldie, she was the goat. She was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Loved her. Miss Oldie was great. And she was a lunch lady, too.
She was the lunch lady and crossing guard.
Yeah, man.
She really hit all the boxes, man.
When I busted my lip and wide open, had to get stitches, she helped me to the nurse's office. She was
great. That was so nice of her.
It was so nice.
It really was.
I used to fake injury just to go to the nurse's office to get a bag of ice so I could eat it in class.
Really?
What was the worst injury you ever had in school? Because I know what mine was.
Okay, what was it?
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Fourth grade. I was turning a page in a book and cut my eye with paper. A paper cut in my eye. Yeah.
In the actual eye?
Like the white part of the eye.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I remember like, just please put this, like they had the eye wash solution. He goes, shit, it ain't helping. And I said, just please put it in there. It's not going to help. I put it in there. It didn't help. And I don't, I honest to God, don't remember how it ultimately ended up healing. But you have those weird injuries when you're a kid. That's crazy. Never forget. Like to this day, kind of just stand away from paper now because I always fear that I'm going to get this paper cut in my eye.
Did you bonk your chin on the monkey bars when you were a kid or any injury, like broken bone or anything on the playground?
Yeah, it was just the busted lip
or yesterday.
On the cafeteria table.
Just too excited for lunch?
Yep.
What was being served that day? Cinnamon rolls and chili?
Chicken tetrazzini.
That was the best day. Cinnamon rolls, chili was the best day.
That must be a Kansas thing.
It is. Why I brought it up because I figured it was cinnamon roll chili day. You got so excited you slipped and you hit the table.
I knew you had to go to the table to sit first. Whichever table was all seated first would all get to go first. So I was like running to the table to sit down, trip, bang. You
what
know?
Grade was this?
I think it was fourth grade.
Was it fourth grade?
I think it was fourth grade.
Did you have your shoes tied?
And I had an opening night of a musical that I was in that night, so I had to go get stitches. I looked terrible. I was in the ensemble.
What did you sing? Fat Lip by Sum 41?
What were you? What musical was it?
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Yeah, it was great. Still remember all the colors.
Stolen to the table like a name was
Were you the wig master by chance in that or not?
Just a kid.
Okay. Nice. Those are your guys' injuries in school.
Did you have one?
Yeah, broken heart.
Oh, dang, man. Yeah.
Now I can.
It got me.
But no.
That's not an injury.
Speak for yourself. I'm still single. Can't get over fifth grade love. No, I, on the way to seventh grade, you can probably see it a little bit on my elbow there, that skin.
Yeah.
So my bike tire got caught between the grass and the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. You used to get caught in that, yeah.
And I panicked and hit the front brake, flew over, elbow scraped all the way across the sidewalk, and I just thought it was one of those burns. So I went in to get into my locker, and this young girl next to me, I believe her name was Shambri. That was her name. And I'm doing my unlocking of my locker, and she just goes, "Oh, my God, your elbow is sick." And I looked over and I mean, talk about weak knees. I was like, oh my God. So I go to the nurse's office. What does this wonderful nurse do? Pours rubbing alcohol down my arm. And I went, oh, F. And I got one day of in-school detention for abusive language.
Yeah, that's a little much there.
Where is my mom hot?
Yeah, but you just poured rubbing alcohol on a fifth grader. Like, what
I mean,
an
open cut with gravel in it. I mean, it was literally one of the worst pains of my life.
Yeah, you can't do that and not expect something to be uttered. Yeah. I mean,
I think she was just impressed that I was in seventh grade and could say the F word that well. I mean, I didn't miss a beat.
Well, that seventh grade is about when you start learning that. Let's say people always say, what are my kids? Your kids are learning all this at school, Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, stop trying to protect your kids. They're finding out all the information that they need.
Did kids ever
at the
put
school.
Pennies in their mouth to get their fever up so they could get out of school?
No, I never.
I've heard pennies in your mouth if you're like drinking and driving. People, that was an old wives' tale back
You guys
in the
had
day.
Cinnamon roll and chili. We had copper pennies under the tongue to raise the temperature up.
Oh, God. A legacy game is going to take place on Sunday afternoon. I've been saying all week, I think it's the biggest game we've ever seen at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, that voice sounds familiar.
That wasn't 35-0.
That wasn't 35-0.
No,
I know,
but that was the Kingdoms, episode 5.
Okay, yeah, that was the part that I was
okay,
in, right?
That's, yes.
I think.
You can feel
that's
that.
You.
Yeah, no, that's definitely that's me.
Like,
yeah.
You can tell Bob's plums are like swollen. Like, he's hard.
A legacy game is going to take place on Sunday afternoon. I've been saying all week, I think it's the biggest game we've ever seen at Arrowhead Stadium.
Talking about the games of the AFC Championship game, Buffalo in Kansas City.
It was. I mean, find me a game bigger than what we saw in that AFC Championship. I don't know. I mean, what's this? This will be the fourth year in a row going to the Super Bowl, right? Let's say they get back to the Super Bowl this year, make it 4 years in a row, right? Maybe next year's AFC Championship game to give them 5 straight Super Bowls will be a bigger game at Arrowhead Stadium because nobody's been to 5 Super Bowls in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so maybe that will have that bigger feel. But up until we get to that point, there's not been a bigger game at Arrowhead Stadium. And I don't think there'll be a bigger one this year, impactful, meaningful type of game like that one was going to lead itself to, right?
Yeah, I think
winning
right.
that third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Even making the fourth Super Bowl in a row this year, Buffalo already did that, right? Mm-hmm. That's not something new to be accomplished this year. Now, if it was the three-peat and then winning 4 in a row, hell yeah. Jeez. But so that's why I think you skip this year. The Travis final game on Christmas night will be big, but not as impactful, obviously, as that game that was for the AFC Championship. So if you get through this year, skip a year next year, 2026, AFC Championship game to go to your fifth straight Super Bowl, that will become the biggest game in Arrowhead Stadium history.
I know that I'm hard.
Mm-hmm. Big time. Big time. Yeah, but you said that there was something key about this kingdom that showed you about. You wanted to talk about Steve Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo, yeah. Like, and Mac even texted me about this yesterday.
He was looking for the spaghetti in the background of his shots because he does it in his kitchen. And I'm like, where's the wife?
What do you think? She's taking the spaghetti and throwing it on the wall to see if it sticks.
As much as she's making for those guys that eat it.
I'm telling you, and she can cook. When he was the coach of the Rams, they had us for dinner. The food that she makes is phenomenal. She's a phenomenal cook.
It's awesome.
And so Spags is in this, and you text me yesterday, go, God, these guys would run through a wall of fire for this guy right about now, right? And they talk about the difference that Steve Spagnuolo has made on this team. And if you're thinking about kind of like the hierarchy and you're kind of like ranking these guys by importance in the organization, I don't think you'd have an argument by saying Steve Spagnuolo is the third most important person in this dynasty. You'd have an argument over number two. You wouldn't have an argument over number one. It's Andy Reid. You wouldn't have an argument over number three. I don't think it's Steve Spagnuolo. The argument you would have is Brett Veach or Patrick Mahomes at number two.
I mean, the way this team just changed. I mean, Spags, Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl, right? Dynasty built. And then you get the shirts last, or was it 2 years ago? And Spags, we trust, and everybody's wearing mm-hmm. those shirts. And you just kind of get like the narrative. Yeah, he's massive. I mean, we talk about Hall of Fame career as a coordinator, and they don't exist.
Right, yeah.
And he's that impactful.
He's that impactful. That's why I think he's number three. He's not number two, and he's not number one. So but the number two one is debatable.
He could be number two, too. He
could be number two if you really wanted to push the envelope a little bit. I wouldn't argue with you
that
if you wanted to put him at number two.
Seeing how those guys talked about him, I was just like, whoa. Like, it's the same way you hear offensive guys talk about Andy Reid. Like, he has that control over his defense, and it's a testament to Andy Reid, too, the way he runs his team. Hey, I've got this half, Spags, go crazy, take care of it. Everyone knows that's the way it works, and they would. They'd run into a fire.
What you just said there is the reason why Andy Reid is a successful football coach in the NFL and why Todd Haley is not a successful football coach in the NFL.
Ego?
Yes and no, but being able to give everybody else credit. It was one of the great things that Dick Vermeil always did. Everybody else got the credit. He never took the credit for everything. And I've always kind of marveled that in Dick Vermeil and in coaches. And it kind of always sat in the back of my mind when I see coaches now, I'm like, I can pretty much tell right away if you're going to be successful or not. When you're trying to get all that credit and trying to look like you're the guy, that's when you fail. The guy in San Diego failed miserably because he was that way. Andy Reid doesn't care who gets the credit. I called the bad plays. Matt called the good plays. Steve Spagnuolo called all the good plays. I take the bad plays, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the way you become a leader. That's the way you lead your organization.
And you saw that in that Green Bay skit when, like, he's like, who called that play? He's like, I called it. And Brett's like, you just saved my ass, Andy.
Exactly. The Green Bay skit sums up Andy, and not skit, but that scene. Like Mike Holmgren, for those who haven't seen it, is chewing out Brett Favre on the sidelines. And Andy Reid's like the quarterback coach, right? And he gets involved and goes, hey, that's on me. Even though it really wasn't on him.
And that's all he says.
He goes, that's on me. And then Holmgren starts ripping Andy Reid. And Andy just goes, that's on me. And you could see Favre in the background smiling. Like, Andy just took all this heat and pressure off of me. That's a big reason why he's successful. Because everybody gets the credit. I take all the blame. Gets the credit. I take all the blame. Tom Coughlin had that with Steve Spagnuolo, too, when he was the head coach of the Giants and Spags was the defensive coordinator, and they beat, the New England Patriots. Go do your defense, Spags. I mean, those guys, you hear Strahan still to this day talk about Spags and the impact that this guy's had. So could he be the second most important person to this dynasty? There's an argument to be made, but I would imagine more people would say Mahomes or probably, right, Veach in that category than maybe Steve Spagnuolo. But I just think, the more that I watch that documentary and think about what's gone on, Steve Spagnuolo is more important to this organization than we will ever, ever realize.
I'd almost have an argument that Clark's number one.
Just allowing all this to happen.
Having that, because like when they show the behind closed door meeting and they're given the stats of Kelsey in the playoffs.
That was cool,
And it's Andy and it's Brett and it's Spags and it's, I think,
Donovan's in there.
G's in there. And they're all talking. And Clark just sits there and goes, to think they were going to a seventh AFC championship game is wild.
Yeah.
And Andy's speechless. And none of this happens. And I know it's easy to put all the weight on the owner, but
we talk about owners all the time. We talk about Cincinnati. We talk about Dallas. We talk about all these teams that fail miserably because they want it to be about them. Clark Hunt doesn't go on a radio show once a week. Clark Hunt doesn't show himself out there unless it's the playoffs or a significant franchise win. And the fact that he sat down with Andy and just said, you're not going to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're coming here. My franchise is in shambles. I am not going to fail my father. We are going to build this thing, and you are going to be the big part of it. There's a lot of praise you could put on Clark Hunt being the number one reason why they are here today.
And I would even take that one step further, and I would say the whole Hunt family in general, because there was some discussion about keeping Scott Pioli on. As you know, Scott Pioli wasn't fired until Andy Reid fired Scott Pioli, essentially, right? Like 2 days later after Andy was hired, sorry, Scott, you're no longer working here. So it's the Hunt family in general, all of, and especially Norma, too, for willing, being the matriarch of that family and telling Clark, hey, we got to make these changes, right? Mom said it's time to make these changes. Brothers and sisters, and everybody agrees, because when you fire a coaching staff, you're not just hiring a new coaching staff. A lot of checks you got to write out the door for a lot of people. That was as costly a decision as anything the Hunts have
done. And one of those checks is humble. You got to write that humble check and be like, you know what, I failed. This is the
way.
Because they tell you how low this franchise got. And all these people that say, oh, you're fair weather fans, you weren't here. I remember the Javon Belcher
and
stuff.
I think that's why it's important to show all that in this documentary, so people outside the area can realize before Andy Reid took here, we had a murder suicide.
Yeah. And what, 2 wins? 2-14?
Yeah. 2-14.
And the laughing stock of the NFL.
It was,
I mean, it was terrible.
Terrible.
It was the most down bad this franchise has, in my opinion,
and that
ever
was
been.
I mean, it started with the Eric Winston and all of that kind of stuff. It went to Banners and Whitlock calling this show and spending money at the airport to fly banners about firing people. It led to songs. It led to screaming. It led to Lewisburg. Like, that was just 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mention the murder-suicide that happened in 2012, too. That's how all of that ended. It started with Lewisburg and ended up with a murder-suicide in 4 months, that thing, and all of that stuff that happened in between. People who weren't here don't understand what that year was like. And then, you know, looking back and explaining how Lamar Hunt, there was a great homage to Lamar, too, in this documentary, letting the world know, that's the cat we need to be thanking for the NFL. Nobody else but Lamar, because he's so just subtle, never took the credit for it. Lamar Hunt should be a bigger name in the NFL than he is right now, and this documentary is really showing that.
And then since that season, they've had one season under
10
wins.
No, none seasons under 500.
Under 10 wins. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They went 9-7 in year two, and then now they've rattled off 9 consecutive AFC West titles.
Sick.
So it's crazy how that changed. We will get into the expansion that could be coming geographically for baseball a little bit later, but I want to get to On the Come.
On the Come.
What was it?
On the Come.
It's Tuesday. Hit it a third time.
On the Come.
Mac, you're on the top of the list. Who's your On the Come this week?
Let me tell you about this guy.
I figured it was coming. Mini Banks coming.
Nobody knows. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Where do you get a name of this
name? People know him now. They didn't know him 3 weeks ago, other than fantasy nerds. We've been talking about him for a month. You'll know him in a week. I mean, he's the starting running back for the Commanders, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. You can make fun of me, but he is the guy. I know. It's the most nerd
I think he
name.
Goes by JCM.
He goes by Bill, actually, which
he
is funny enough.
By Bill.
He goes by Bill.
How they got Bill out of that? I'm watching that game last night, and I'm like, Bill?
I have one of my best friends' name is Jeremy, and we call him Bill.
We just
call him Bill.
All right.
And the other day, we had a guy that came over to the swim party. His name was Bill, and it was confusing. He's like, why do you keep calling him Bill? His name's Jeremy. I'm like, I don't know.
His middle name
is William. We just call him Bill.
His middle name is William.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. That makes sense.
But his first name is Jeremy. It's not like his first name is William.
Yeah, but a lot of people go by their middle name.
No one calls me Kurt.
Yeah. But there are people who go by their middle name all the time.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. That totally happens.
Last name.
I don't know where they got Bill, but that came out last night. It's not Jacory. It's Bill Kroski-Merritt. Whatever.
Bill Kroski.
I know Bill Kroski.
He uses rattlesnakes as condoms.
This guy once ran in a preseason game and had Max Stone so hard they fell off a cliff.
He's been talked about in dynasty circles for a little over a month, in nerd circles, and now he's making his way to the national news because Brian Robinson's going to get traded. He's going to be the number one running back for the Commanders, and he's really good so far. We'll see. He wasn't that great in college. I don't know why.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, was Isaiah Pacheco any good at Rutgers?
I don't know.
Who the hell cares,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You're a running back in the NFL. It's a smart thing to do. Trade Robinson. Give to the young guy. When he gets 3 years from now, get rid of his ass.
Exactly.
It's the cycle of life of running backs in the NFL. Yeah.
So there you go. Bill Kroski Merritt.
Mine on the come is Jackson Dart.
Hey.
Very good preseason game, and there is conversation about him. Whether or not he should start, no, he should not start at all. Shouldn't play one play this year at all.
Giants Nation, let's Giant.
Do that, and if that doesn't work, then you got Jameis to back up there, and then if that doesn't work, you got the Parmesan guy and Selmo's friend, and Tommy. Then you can go to Jackson Dart if everybody else lost their legs.
I agree.
Jackson Dart does not need to play. Do not, if you're the Giants, play him at all. Have the restraint that Andy and company did with Patrick Mahomes. It was the best decision that they made.
So if that's the mantra in New York, that means Daboll's safe.
Oh, Daboll's 100%. We've talked about this, Mac and I. Yeah. Daboll's not going anywhere. Daboll's, I would say, this is going to sound ridiculous, one of the safest coaches, I think, right now in the NFL because of Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have this guy with Jackson Dart this year, then fire him, and then have Jackson Dart next year with a brand new coach. He won't have success next year, and then you're on year three of Jackson Dart.
Yeah, agreed. I think he's got 3 years left this year, next season, and probably one more season.
Yeah.
Probably what he has. Which, in your words, one of the safer coaches in the league.
I think so. I do, based on circumstance. Yeah, because you just set your organization back even further if it doesn't work out this year.
They restarted the clock with him once they fired the GM, got a new quarterback, and kept him.
They didn't fire the GM.
Shane's still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we restarted the clock when you got a quarterback.
Yeah, if you play him in week two and he fails miserably, then we're having a different conversation.
Exactly right.
And for job perseverance, if I'm Brian Daboll, that kid ain't playing at all this year.
I'm going to go with the guy that's going to really make things confusing in Cincinnati, Mitch Tinsley.
I liked him when he was with the Bears. He was good.
He
was really good.
He last night had a hell of a game, and I know it's preseason, but the catch he made in the back of the end zone, the numbers he's putting up, maybe going to make Cincinnati think, should we have given T. Higgins that much money if we had a guy that was pretty good?
Oh, sure they should. Pay? All the wide receivers get paid there.
Mitchell Tinsley last night on the come, you'll see his name get dropped in the ADP round, picks rounds, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Rounds 8 or 9?
Can T. Higgins stay healthy?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Do you want to play this guy and see what he can do preseason-wise?
And look, quite honestly, draft every Bengal skill position player because they're going to have to put up 35 to 40 points a game to have an opportunity to win. There's going to be a lot of yardage and a lot of points from that Bengals offense. They're really good offense. They're as good as they are on offense, they're as bad on defense. I don't know that I've seen a team this good on one side of the ball and this bad on the other. Like, this makes the 0-3 Chiefs defense look good. Sorry, Shop.
Yeah, he was on there. But yeah, no, this is definitely on the come because none of these names have yet to even prove anything.
That's right. Yeah, but that's the whole point
of the show.
It's perfect for the preseason, right?
Exactly.
Or somebody's going to have a big game in week one. We're like, oh, this is the new guy. Everybody's going to pick him up on Tuesday, in waiver periods and whatnot. That's the beauty of the NFL. There's guys every week that we think are going to be these superstars, and then we never hear from them again, right? Of those three, which one will we not hear from again?
Jackson Dart, according to you and everybody in New York, he's not going to play. So you'll just hear him on this. You'll just see him on the sideline with the Mahomes thing. Well, there he is.
Yes, there he is. Every broadcast, he'll show. I wonder if he's going to get in.
Wouldn't they have won if Dart was in?
How good is that for the script, though, too? Keeps everybody interested, watching, paying 100%. Attention. Are you going to play this guy? Are you going to play this guy? They should say at the beginning of the year, we're not playing him this year.
Do you think so? You don't think he'll play this? Or do you think he'll play this year? You don't think he should? Do you think he will?
I don't think so.
Okay, Dusty? No.
I mean, Andy Reid didn't play Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
week 18. Yeah,
if he does play, it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, not last game. Yeah.
That means Russell Wilson is completely washed. That means Jameis Winston can't throw a ball to a guy in a blue jersey, unless it's the opponent. Yeah. And then, I mean, I think Dart's ahead of DeVito, but I could be wrong on that. But like, that'd be the only reason why it would happen.
Okay.
They'd have to be like 0-6. The season's over. It'd be like a Michael Penix thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Michael Penix probably shouldn't have started last year, but Kirk Cousins started off okay, And then it just went completely to you know what.
Yeah. But the Giants have their. They, see, that's why you have these two quarterbacks if you're the Giants.
Exactly.
So you don't have to play Jackson right. Dart.
You did your due diligence. You followed the plan. Now see it through.
Right.
Right.
My prediction is by week 7, Jackson Dart's a starter.
Oh, see, no.
I hope I'm wrong.
No,
I think you're right, Bob. This is the right plan.
Yeah. Sit but him. I also think, though, if you do that, then if you're Brian Daboll, then you're on the hot seat.
And then Jay right. Binkley let me know Tinsley's from Lee Summit. So I'm definitely rooting for that
Let's
dude.
Let's go.
Now. And if he doesn't stay with Cincinnati, put him in Seattle and him and Drew Locke just put on a show. Even Sam Darnold looked good the other day. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Coming up on the other side, there was it was pure nostalgia last night on SportsCenter. If you missed it, we'll play the audio and we'll talk about what we saw last night and who we'd like to see come back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to school, kids. Be nice to those bus drivers. Be nice to those teachers. You got a whole year with those suckers. Don't ruin it on day one. I've always thought it'd be cool to drive a bus.
Someday, maybe you will.
Well, we got 1 year left on this contract till they tell me to get lost. It's nice. 2 years, Dusty. Have a good one.
Take care.
Hey, guys, I listen to you every morning. Dusty from the old morning show.
Dusty on the bus. Yeah.
You have to have your CDL to drive a bus, don't you?
I think so, yes.
I'm pretty sure.
I think there may be like a bus driver light version of that, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, something specific.
I just know they're constantly advertising for bus drivers, especially in our district where our kids go to Olathe. It's constantly looking for bus drivers. So maybe you don't have to have a CD. I don't know.
Text on to let us know in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys stayed up last night or not, but there was a pretty cool segment I wanted to make sure I saw last night, and that was paying homage to my childhood.
Tonight on SportsCenter, the preseason Monday Nighter certainly did not disappoint in D.C. While an old D.C. star powered up the Phillies against the Mariners twice. In Pittsburgh, Paul Skeens actually got runs, two of them. Was it enough against Toronto? But really, sometimes you gotta keep it simple and direct.
Why didn't you go down?
I wanted to score.
This show is all about strolling down memory lane. No, not about having hair. It's about throwing a whole bunch at you while having an old school good time. So, stay tuned and don't flip out. SportsCenter is next. Hey there. Saying this for the first time in 22 years, welcome to SportsCenter.
I mean,
woo. It's cool.
If you want my childhood awesome. In a nutshell, it's right there. The only thing missing is my guy, Stuart Scott.
Yeah, that was it. Was good to kind of have that nostalgia. ESPN for me was
great.
You hate
to love them. No, you really do sometimes. No,
but that's what I loved about ESPN was SportsCenter. I don't know what it was like for your guys' generation, but like growing up and summertime came around, and before you started kind of going about your day, you watched episodes of SportsCenter, and they were rerun all the time. And for me, it was like Tom Meese, rest in peace, and Chris Berman, and obviously a little bit of Rich Eisen. And when I got a little bit older, but like every morning in the summer was spent watching SportsCenter and getting those highlights, and you knew everything about sports. And then ESPN did what MTV did, and MTV stopped playing music and made it about the shows, and ESPN stopped showing you SportsCenter and highlights in the sports, and they made it about Stephen A. Smith screaming and Mike Greenberg asking his panel every day why the Chiefs are washed and all of that kind of stuff. And they got away from what really put them on the map, they're kind of their bread and butter, with that SportsCenter. So kind of seeing it back last night is kind of a little bit of nostalgia, because I don't care how many times SportsCenter was on and how many times I saw it. If it was a rainy day in the summer, especially, you watch that sucker till noontime seeing the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah, I think what really killed SportsCenter was the cell phone.
Yeah.
And was social media, because with SportsCenter, you know, you didn't watch a game or you didn't see the game because you didn't really have all the opportunities. You just waited for the highlight. And I remember sitting there watching the bottom ticker go through and be like, oh, we missed the Royals. Like, hold on. I'm going to wait until it goes all the way. Yeah. And you'd see it be like NHL, NBA, NFL, and then it'd be MLB. Like, all right, finally it's here. But I mean, every morning breakfast, you know, cereal, whether it be that or, you know, buttered cinnamon toast, whatever it might have been, toast strudel, Pop Tart, SportsCenter was on every single morning. And the way that we did it, my sister didn't ride the bus. My dad would drop her off at school, and I would get my breakfast ready, get ready for school, and I would just have SportsCenter on in the living room and eat my breakfast. My dad would come home. We'd have 5-10 minutes to watch it. And then I'd get, you know, take it to the, I would just walk to the bus stop. Dad would go to work. And I just remember I would just always watch sport. I mean, I would just walk around the house,
We all did.
I mean, my parents hated it, but I mean, I did it all the time.
I watched it with my mom in the summer because she was a teacher. I just remember sitting there with my mom watching SportsCenter highlights.
Like, I remember, like, my parents, my mom, my stepdad would go watch KU games during the tournament. My mom was a huge KU fan for basketball, and they would do the booyah, like, every time they'd hit a three or butter, like, or whatever the guy would say, like, you know, from deep, like, Stuart Scott would always say booyah. Yeah. And I started saying that watching, like, games at the house, and they'd be like, where'd you get that from? I'm like, Stuart Scott on ESPN, he's one of the best, you know, frontmen of the game. You had him, Kenny Mayne, Dan Patrick, Rich Eisen, all those great guys. And, you know, it kind of takes you back a little bit when you hear that voice, you hear that music, that sweet jazz upbeat.
The music is really good. Yeah.
And then you kind of think to yourself, like, man, what could I have back from the past that I'd love to see today?
Yeah. And I was thinking about that yesterday. And for me, there's a couple of things. Number one, I'd love to see Letterman do a show again. He's kind of my
idol.
What
he looks like now or what he looks
like
then? Well,
yeah. Yeah. Either way, I don't care. His humor is just the best that there is. I think he's one of the best interviewers of all time. So David Letterman, for me, somebody I've kind of looked up to. Oprah's another person that I've looked up to as well. What she was able to do in her time doing the Oprah Winfrey Show, basically telling an entire group of people what to think and how to think it and do whatever she says like she did, was unbelievable. Hey, this is my book club. She made so many people into millionaires by supporting their products.
You get a car. You get a car. You get a TV. You get this.
And oh, by the way, I'm reading this book by John Johnson, and then everybody goes out and buy it. It's in a New York Times bestseller overnight. And she's just an incredible human being, right?
My family drove to, not me, my mom and her sisters and my grandmother drove to Chicago to see Oprah.
That's
because
cool.
Favio was on there.
Oh, God.
That's it. That's the only, they went to Chicago to see those two people.
I mean, Fabio was sexy back in the day, but I mean.
Oh, yeah. He let them feel his chest.
Oh, really?
They said, it's hairy.
Oh, okay. I do that every once in a while. Jen gets mad when other women are touching my pecs. I mean, I don't understand why. But and then I would love to see Frank Sinatra, not that I ever did, but one final time, just sing My Way in person.
That'd be awesome.
And just kind of peace out after that. But if Letterman and Oprah could come back and do one more show, I mean, they're just, for what, you know, my life has become and where I am, like, those are two of my idols, you know? It used to be like John Madden and whatnot, but Oprah and Letterman, unbelievable at their jobs. They're just unbelievable connectors.
Would you rather have Frank Sinatra sing My Way at your funeral or John Madden explain your life at a funeral?
John Madden explained my life.
There's this guy, wow, he was in New Jersey, went to St. Louis, came back to KC, wow, now he's dead.
Yeah, but that would be entertaining. Like, people would cry if Sinatra started singing My Way, right? Like, that'd be
entertaining,
funeral,
though.
It would be entertaining. Yeah, especially since he's dead. Both of them are.
And
right?
Then you pop up, like, just kidding, I'm still alive.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Could you imagine that? Let's fake your own funeral and see who shows up.
Well, Nick Swartzen says he wants to have his funeral and have be on strings. And then in the middle of the funeral, they just prop him up and he comes up like,
oh,
Pinocchio.
Oh, my God. That sounds terrible.
Seriously, terrifying. Who farted?
Like, if you found out that I wasn't dead at my funeral and popped up out of the would you ever speak to me again?
No, I'd be pretty pissed.
Like, I wouldn't speak to that person again.
I would just start probably pissing myself in laughter. I'm like, he trolled us again.
I wouldn't know what to do, quite honestly. If you went to a funeral and the person popped up out of the casket and says, gotcha,
I'd be pissed.
How would you react?
It's so fun.
No, that would not be okay.
I think I'd sit there and go, huh?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I don't think any of us could picture how we're going to react because we've never been there before.
I'd be like, Bob, Jen is in tears. She's sobbing. You took her to emotional turmoil.
She's like, I slept with Dusty.
But what if she was in on it? Yeah, not that quick. Give her a week.
His skin's still warm, Jen.
Well, because he's not dead. What?
Dang it, we really screwed up. Maloney's in the back. Like, I knew he was alive.
Yeah, yeah. Maloney's cheering me on.
He's always faking.
Yeah.
Emily just sitting there putting sour cream on a taco going, just another day with Bob.
Alex is like, we knew he wasn't dead.
Alex is like, Dad?
Told you guys. Told you. I mean,
Mac, you have anybody you want
to be dead? Yeah.
He's not.
Got good genes.
He's not. Bob's not dead. He's trolling. He does this before. He says 35 nothing. He's going to live to be 88. Yeah. It's fine. You got somebody you'd like to see come back?
I liked yours, American Idol. I liked yours.
The original cast?
The original,
how good
sick
was that? Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Man.
Like, the William Hung days were the best.
I mean, and Paul Abdul was strung out on whatever.
Yeah, dude.
And then you had Randy. It's a no for me,
no
dog.
No for me, dog. No for me, dog. No
and then
for me.
Simon, just brutally honest.
You're terrible.
You are yeah, the worst singer I've ever seen.
Look, not stop it. Stop it. It's not good. Get
it's,
off.
It's
get
amazing.
Out of here.
The William Hung one may have been that to me is the all time perfect American Idol. I mean, so bad, and the reaction and everybody. Yeah, that was a really good show. When it then, like, you know, it kept going and going.
It's still going.
We had the guy in studio who hosted the first year with Seacrest. Mm-hmm. What the hell was that guy's name?
I used to know it.
And he was not very friendly, I don't remember, but...
Well, he was similar to Chevy Chase in Saturday Night Live. He's like, yeah, I don't think this is going to be as successful as you guys
think. That's exactly where I'm going with it. And he didn't really want to talk about American Idol because he knew he made a mistake.
Yeah, he made a big mistake.
By bouncing off of that show.
Brian Dunkelman.
That's who it was,
Dunkelman. Yeah, I just read it. Yeah. Apparently, yeah, he struggled with some depression.
Well, how could you not? Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for the guy.
It's like the drummer for the Beatles. Like, yeah, I'm out, guys. I'm not going
to
do music.
Yeah. I'd also love to see Regis Philbin come back.
Be great. Regis nice. Is awesome.
Yeah.
He looked like my mother's friend, Helen. Her and Regis always looked alike.
All right, this one's for $500. This Pokemon character is yellow. Squirtle, Charizard, Pikachu. Yeah. The guy's like, I know this one. Oh, man.
Regis and Kathy Lee was a good show, too.
Seacrest really just took over.
Now he's on everything.
He's the man.
Wheel of Fortune.
He's taken over for Regis. He's taken over for The Wheel. He's taken over for Idol.
He's the smallest, biggest man in Hollywood. 5'5". Good old Ron.
Five,
he's wow. Something like that. 5'7", I think. He's
and then he does the Saturday night, or not Saturday, but the New Year's Rockin' Eve.
And
oh, yeah.
He'd really hold on to this when he would say America.
This.
Is American Idol.
You're like, yeah. All right. Yeah.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
He did, yeah.
Let's go, dude.
Yeah, he would hold that this
he
for
loved
a
it.
Law. That pause after this.
Oh, man.
Is America. He probably started doing it because it, like, pissed Simon off.
Probably.
Just you know, like, it's one of those things. Like, it was just something like Simon's like, do you have to pause that long? No, but I'll pause a lot longer.
And
I guarantee you it's something that happened behind the scenes that created him doing that.
100%.
Coming up on the other side, we get to start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Get into the know with Jay Southland Tow here on Fesco and Dusty, 913-586-7965. Send yours in, and maybe we'll read them here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.